Way, way back in the 1980s, secret government employees dug out famous guys and ladies and made them using genetic copies. Now they're clones of sexy teens. Now they're gonna make it if they try. Loving, learning, sharing, charging. Time to laugh and shiver and cry.
Today, on a very special Little Shows That Couldn't, we get a nondescript religious holiday and the beginning of the end. I'm Sean Stewart. With me is Steve Cartman.
Woo-hoo!
That is Steve. And we are looking at episodes 11 and 12 of Clone High today. This episode 11 is titled Snowflake Day, a very special holiday episode. And it is a very special episode.
It is. It's managed to, you know, abolish all the singular religions that make everyone feel bad when they celebrate them privately.
For sure.
As it's said in the episode, the UN has finally abolished all other religions.
Finally.
Yep. And
it's all just been wrapped up into one big old holiday.
Yep. You can enjoy yourself on Snowflake Day.
Hooray.
Yep. Snowflake Jack and
Snowflake Jake.
Oh, Jake. Sorry.
But yeah, get your lamb tacos, your spices, and just celebrate Snowflake Day. Everybody's on board except Joan. Joan is not on board at all.
Yeah, she still sees the Snowflake Day as, you know, by the just a scam by the big card companies. And
it is. Yeah. Let's get it out there. It is.
Yeah, and she's and it's even shown in the episode that they're following her. And
they have their worst sniper on the case.
Yeah.
He just cannot hit the broadside of a barn.
Three separate occasions, I think he misses.
Yeah. Not a great sniper.
Yeah.
Do some more research on that greeting card company.
And but Joan, yeah,
she is a real Grinch in this episode. She
not even Grinch. She goes full blown supervillain, like almost immediately.
Like Scudworth level villainy, almost.
And maybe it's because Scudworth takes a back seat in this episode.
He definitely does. Is he writing letters to himself? I don't know if that was established, what he was actually doing.
I think it's his greeting card for all his friends and family that he sends every year. You know, all the people that need to be updated in his life.
Yeah.
Which
he
also says just gets photocopied and sent to everyone anyways.
Fair enough. I'm surprised he has more than just Butlertron.
That's what I was going to say. it's never established who this is going to, because Mr. B, I think, is his only friend.
Who seems to be comatose in this episode.
Yeah,
he doesn't do a thing. He's just lying around on the floor.
I guess they're on their holiday break, right?
Like, he must have turned him off for the holidays.
Powered down.
Powered him down.
yeah, I guess because everybody else is having their holiday break.
I guess so.
We don't have to. They're not too worried about it. We got Scudworth taking a breather, so
a bit of a backseat. Joan's definitely up in the ante for sure in this episode. She's sabotaging everything.
She's slashing tires and putting razor blades in little cocktail weenies, like just about as bad as think you can get.
Just the most heinous stuff.
Yeah. And itching powder in the Snowflake Jake eye patches.
Oh,
which,
were they in the eye patch? Oh,
yeah,
that's rough.
Which is, it's still pretty terrible. But it's still better, at least it's better than razor blades in your food for your friends.
That's
like,
way
it's
too much.
It's a holiday party for the people you know.
And you're just like, have a razor blade. Why not?
And at least she didn't do anything to the lamb tacos, like the Snowflake Day.
That's the one bonus. The lamb tacos went unscathed. People ate the lamb tacos with no ill will to them. But Joan runs into a hobo when she's throwing things out at the mall, because she's an elf.
Yeah, for Captain Jake.
For Snowflake Jake.
Can't get that name.
Who is the worst person, it seems like.
Yeah.
Just a pig-headed so-and-so.
Sexist, as he makes several comments towards Joan that are just like, they're disgusting, but I guess he's a pirate, so they're still pretty tame.
But they're also hilarious, because the crowd around him is like cheering about
Everybody's up, and there's a little boy sitting on his lap, for a second, and then the little boy takes a knife to Jake's throat and is like, "You're gonna bring me this spice?" And Q-Man, and he's just like, "Arr, you're already, boy." And he's like, "Now get out of here before I kill your parents." And then the crowd cheers.
Yep. Everybody loves cranky old Snowflake Jake.
Yeah, it's a holiday where it seems to have been so quickly established that nobody questions how terrible everything about it is. But yeah, back to the hobo Joan meets.
Who may or may not be Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It definitely sounds like Mandy Moore.
The credits aren't even sure.
The headset in her ear, like the fact that she's wearing, like what performers wear on stage, I think.
Right. Kind of a tip-off.
She is adamant that she is not Mandy Moore. So.
And was she in the end? I think she was Mandy Moore, right?
Well,
it was never really established.
Basically, she is there only at this point to help Joan rediscover the Snowflake Day spirit.
Seems like the only reason why she's
by stalking her.
Yeah.
It's at least some kind of targeted...
They were casing her out,
yeah.
Is what it seems like.
It came in the end. It all comes
yeah,
together,
exactly,
but
yeah.
It's just like when Mandy Moore comes out of the dumpster and starts talking to Joan as Joan, and she's like, "How do you know my name?" And yeah, it's.
Oh, I see you. You had problems at home. How did you know? I didn't.
She's following her.
Yeah,
so.
Clearly following her. Possibly stalking her.
Yeah, but it's...
But it ends in robbery anyway, so...
Ends in robbery, but everyone's still convinced it's the Snowflake Day spirit. So.
And everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Well, Abe's not always happy. He and Gandhi run into a little trouble.
That's true. Well, Abe is trying to save up money to buy Cleo an extremely expensive gift.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that he has no money. So he does the Christian thing... And gets a job, not as a carpenter, though, as a dishwasher.
Yep, in a restaurant, at least managed by Napoleon.
As far as we know, it's
yeah.
Managed by Napoleon. And speaking at through experience, seeing that dishwasher pit is pretty spot on. There's just a mountain of dishes. People are yelling at you to clean certain dishes. Nobody will help you.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to help. The dishwashing guy.
In your experience, though, has it been Napoleon's rule was, we eat our mistakes here. And, like, I guess that applies to the chefs, when they make bad food and it comes back. But as Abe drops a glass on the floor, Napoleon's right on top of him and says, we eat our mistakes. So Abe takes two big handfuls of glass. And
he starts chewing. That is so hard to watch.
And it's so graphic. Like, this holiday special has so much blood and just visceral attacks
yeah.
on Abe's face.
All Abe. No, nobody else.
Oh, it's... Well, Gandhi does have his crotch lit on fire in the episode.
Oh, that is
when
true.
He comes back into the kitchen area, but...
But, I mean, he doesn't suffer blisters or anything throughout the rest of the episode.
Yeah, he shrugs it off.
He shrugs it off pretty quickly. Abe is just bleeding through most of this episode. Poor guy.
And right out of his mouth.
Mostly out of his mouth, yeah.
It's almost too graphic for me. Like, I have trouble watching it.
Oh, and to answer your question, yes, I did have to eat a broken glass. It was pretty rough. Pretty rough.
That explains the downtime we had between making episodes,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I needed a good week from that.
It's hard to talk when every motion opens up.
It's hard to keep your jaw closed, too. I mean, all the... The tendons are cut, you know, it's not a pretty sight.
It is definitely.
It required hours of reconstructive surgery.
Well, I'm glad it's all came back.
Well, thank you.
Because must be just of like AIDS, because he recovers, I think, the next day as well.
He does recover pretty quickly as well.
Only to find when he and Gandhi invent the NORC.
The NORC, which is?
The knife fork contraption that... gets mangled together in the garbage disposal at the restaurant, but now Gandhi and Abe have seen it as their million-dollar idea.
And screw getting a job, let's just market the hell out of this and make millions somehow.
And they're, now it's eliminating...
Marketing? Question mark, profit.
Yeah. It's eliminating the need for two utensils as Abe tests it, and again, is immediately eviscerated in the mouth. Immediate.
It was like one quick motion, and his cheek is like flapping. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Just picturing it now. And he's trying to talk with it flapping. It is the worst.
Yeah.
Oh.
So then they go about improving and, you
they
know,
make
modify
several improvements.
And coal powered, it comes down to the Nork.
It requires a backpack just to throw coal into.
Yeah. And a gas pedal. It's got a sheath over the knife part, so it doesn't always cut you, I guess.
This is a very complex kitchen utensil, but it's also very convenient.
Yeah. And they go about with the marketing, like you say. They get it out there. They start at the mall. They have their old-timey medicine man set up with Abe as a plant in the audience, as several different plants in the audience.
Yeah. One who's like an old lady who can't walk because she's been using two utensils for too long. A little kid and an old man who's like, by Jove.
Yeah, she's here, like, when the old lady finally uses the Nork.
By Jove, it works.
Yeah, and then the little boy who says, I agree with you, Dandy, but let us all buy one.
And they made no money.
It was right up until the demonstration.
Right, I forgot about that.
Again, where it becomes out of control. And once again,
finds its way into Abe's gullet, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, at least he's knocked off screen this time.
Yeah.
It just savages his face.
You just see pools of blood hitting Gandhi.
Yeah, splashing Gandhi. So now, no money. It's Gandhi tells Abe, you've sunk $20,000 into making this thing. He's just like, now what are you going to do for Cleo? And so he does the only thing his heart knows how.
Yep.
And he makes a coupon book of, like, in the silhouette of Cleo, like, it's, and then, yeah, they're coupons for one free background. Like, shit that's free. Like,
right.
Like,
and it's a really, really poorly thought of gift. I mean, just use that $20,000 for a gift.
Like, in my opinion, it's one thing to make a gift. It's another thing to make a crack gift.
Yeah.
There
is so much man hours going into that garbage that...
Yeah.
It is not worth it.
Yeah, and I don't approve.
No, you know what? That was a pretty awful gift.
Come on, Abe. Just because you've had emergency reconstructive face surgery doesn't mean you have to
three
have
times
bad
at
ideas.
This point.
Yeah.
But my fiance does not want like a double back rub coupon.
Yeah.
When she could have one instead.
Exactly. Like. Or if you're gonna make
something,
make a cabinet, like something that requires
or a spice rack.
Or something a wine rack, like like something that's thoughtful, like you know a little bit about the person, but it's got effort, like.
Right.
Fuck off, Abe.
Hey, it's the thought that counts, and it's Snowflake Day. So
well, if it was the thought that counts, it's like, I thought about doing it. There you go. Snowflake Day spirit achieved. Yeah.
I guess so. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but even Cleo still doesn't do anything for Abe, as she gets him the Nork that they've thrown away in the first place. So it's kind of a disappointing Snowflake Day up until... I guess Joan, she's seen the light on her little adventure with Mandy Moore.
Right. Total Mandy Moore.
Yeah, where they go and they find out that in Joan's old house that's burned down, there's been a family or a group of homeless people just living it up.
Living it up, squatting away.
And that's the true meaning of Snowflake Day, is that you just have to... be happy? I forgot what the meaning was. I didn't know.
I couldn't tell you. My concern is those homeless people, like, they don't have shelter.
No. Like,
it's just four walls up, right? Like, there's no
There's
roof.
Like a couple of walls left. There's like 2 3/4 wall. Like, yeah, I don't know.
That's a poor place to squat.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's better than an open field.
I suppose. Well, yeah, I guess there's not many places for homeless to squat next to Mission USA.
I guess.
Clearly, because...
Yeah, that was their choice.
That
I
was
mean, Mandy Moore was in the dumpster.
That was
before,
in Papa Roach.
Yeah, so... But I don't remember. Maybe I think it was just a generic feel happy with your family and friends crap for Snowflake Spirit.
Yeah.
But so it turns Joan around in the end, which is good because she's got to race back to the party to save her friends from all the terrible things she's done
from herself.
Yeah, and as she the first thing she explodes into the scene and says, "I've got big or more or really important news. Don't drink the punch."
Oh, is that what she did?
Yeah, that was like the
I wasn't sure what she did, but I heard JFK like later on go, "Wow, this punch is great."
Yeah, like that
and
was
I was like, okay, so
she's like when she was confessing to Mandy Moore, when she's like, "Oh, I did this, I put razor blades in the food, I peed in the punch."
I was too busy figuring out if that was or wasn't Mandy Moore.
Yeah,
it
was
really,
I was distracted.
Really yeah.
Yeah, and even though she's homeless and dirty, everyone still talks about how attractive she is. So.
Well, I mean, she had some grime on her, but otherwise she was
just her tattered top.
Yeah,
guess,
that did it for me.
So, yeah, she breaks back into the party, saves some people. Not Abe, unfortunately, in time, as the razors and the weenie, the little hot dog weenies, once again eviscerates his face. But it's still it's kind of saved. Then Snowflake Jake, they hear his cannonball pirate ship coming up.
So some scurry into the basement.
Yeah, you know, so he doesn't hit you with the spices that he shoots, I guess.
Who knows?
Yeah, but
maybe this would have been explained in another episode, maybe in another season of Snowflake Day. But that's neither here nor there. We didn't talk about JFK. He was busy recording his own Snowflake Day carols.
You're right. I missed that. And
it's all
he, it comes back to the marketing. Like I think he's got a commercial on TV for it.
He definitely does. Jerky Balls. Jerky Balls 2 was my favorite.
I can't remember. They scroll by so quickly that
it's
like
hard to catch them all.
Very
spice related.
And
lamb tacos.
Yeah. Meat, the flavored, spiced, or jerked meats. Yeah, jerky balls, too.
Yep.
And it's Dawn, We Now Are Gay Apparel. JFK starts laughing from gay. Like, it's your... Yeah.
When you have two gay foster dads, does a gay joke still become funny? Like, where's the line, JFK? That's my question.
Yeah. I don't care how... jockish you are. You should still be influenced a little bit by your home life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's got his music. Everybody loves it because he does it every year, so he can't be losing too much on it.
Now, is he making money off of these albums? Like, are they selling?
I guess. Or
they must
is it,
be.
Is
if
it
like commercials.
Or is it his movies. Christmas album to the town? Like, because the other ones he was doing before were JFK's like actual albums. Because he's got the recording studio in his home, so maybe this is his Snowflake Day spirit.
Well, he has recorded some bangers, you know.
Yeah.
Like he did G Spot's debut song, G Spot Records.
That's G-Spot.
G Spot. And Your Grand Old Flag remix.
So maybe that's the royalties from that are paying for his holiday album, I guess.
Possible.
Because, it's, I don't think anybody's ever talking about buying them. They're getting them.
They're just like, have you heard JFK's album?
No.
Well, maybe we should.
Deck the Hall, or, I'm so frustrated that I can't remember them now. So
that's pretty much all we have for episode 11.
Yeah, I just wanted to say once everyone ran down into the basement, the homeless friends that Joan had... all brought over and everything, they're like, everyone's down in the basement like, "Oh my god, where's that hot looking chick who may or may not have been Mandy Moore?" And they're just like, maybe she was an angel. But no, it turns out that they just looted the place.
They were just looting the place.
Which I think it comes back to that Joan was the mark, that these people were casing the place. And
Mandy Moore was playing the long con.
Yeah.
And she played it to a T.
So just let that be a lesson to you guys. If you're out there and homeless people know you by name and know your troubles, they're probably going to rob you.
And if they look like Mandy Moore.
Yeah, be very suspicious of that.
Be super suspicious. For sure.
Yeah.
And then we move on to episode 12, Steve.
Yep, part one of the end.
Of the end, part two.
And
which
it's...
next week.
Yeah. And, you know, as a season would come to an end of a show, it's, of course, them graduating. And
sure is.
You know, I just had a thought I'm just going to throw out here real quick. Maybe that's why there wasn't any second season, because how could it have been a Clone High if they were graduating at the end of that year?
Well, I imagine more clones would show up.
Ah.
I mean, maybe there's like a generation of clones that
okay.
he's just constantly making.
Of the same clones? Or like
yeah.
of different famous
now
figures?
Now we're getting into some deep
yeah,
stuff.
Maybe we should save that for the end.
Yeah, let's
yeah,
let's
I'm
get
gonna,
through this episode.
I'm going to titillate
we'll...
you all with that.
yeah.
And then now you've got
and we're
going to
completely
through...
forget about it after we get through the episode.
Well, I'm writing it right down
Do it,
now.
Right now. So this episode's name is Makeover, 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 the Makeover episode. And to my count, I counted 5 makeovers.
Me too. I kept a little tally. That's
good stuff. Good stuff.
So
which you should when the episode's called the Makeover episode.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the montages are fun. They're carefree. Sometimes illegal stuff's happening, but it's still okay.
Yep.
So. How does it all start?
Well, everybody's being asked to prom. Prom
like
is happening. And the guys are doing their best to invite women to the prom.
Yeah, they're putting on their best show.
Very inventive
as the
ways.
Male peacock spreads his brilliant plumage. So does
a horse fetus asks a woman
yeah.
to the prom.
So does Nostradamus burst from a horse's chest. From inside a wooden horse to ask Helen of Troy. Appropriate, sort of.
Yeah.
Right up in the fact, but the horse fetus was...
A little much.
It was, yeah.
If I was a woman and someone did that, I would probably have to say yes just because of that. I mean, it is impressive.
Impressive scale, yeah. Unfortunately for Nostradamus, Helen of Troy, not as impressed as we were, turns him down, but he knew it anyways, so he had called it.
He did, yeah.
So now the real problem is...
Abe is dead set on getting Joan to the prom. He needs her to get a makeover. He needs her to find a date and come to the prom.
Yeah.
But he wants Cleo to help.
Yeah,
because Abe can't do anything by himself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He can't do a damn thing by himself.
Yeah, he is totally codependent on anyone in his life to help him.
He wants to do things.
Yeah,
but
he just
can't.
Yeah.
He can't do
That's
a thing.
That's so weird. That's when you think about how the real Abe Lincoln kind of did things on his own. Abe is once again falling short of his iconic forefather.
That's on him.
Yeah, that is.
That's too bad. Too bad, Abe.
Yeah.
So yeah, Abe is trying to get Joan to the prom. Marie Curie. Who is Gandhi's dancing partner, wants to ask Gandhi, but she's just too nervous.
Yeah, she's shy, which I think a lot of people are. Like,
oh,
I never had a prom, mind you, so.
I did, but I went to stay, because I was
nice.
Cool.
Nice. Well, that's the way to go. And
yeah.
And mostly because in my town, there was, like, 5 girls.
I was going to say, there was, like, 5 women there.
So,
well, girls, I guess, at that point.
So I never had to deal with the anxiety of asking out one of your, for Marie Curie's, her position of, like, Gandhi, you know, like, they're friends, they're dance partners, and she helps him stretch. Like,
sure.
You know, they're already pretty close, but it's a, you know, she's worried. And Gandhi, of course, he's oblivious.
Gandhi just wants to dry hump something and brag about it.
Yeah, he's got one mission. In this episode, he finally lets us know that his testicles have descended. Which,
finally.
Thank God.
I was curious.
I'm going to say, anybody who's, by the time they're graduating, going to prom, if it's only at that point, better late than never, but you should have checked, you know, with the doctor beforehand. That's,
way
from a guy perspective, it's very important. So,
for sure.
Gandhi, he's, yeah, maybe priorities aren't the straightest, since he's, you know.
What was his technique to asking women out? Like, just straight up raiding the girls' change room is not a solid plan.
Yeah, as he kicks in the door, he makes sure he makes some great historical puns, but
just can't land.
It's a change room, or bathroom, and there's girls he's, you know, forcing into their lockers, and Susan B. Anthony tries to flush herself to get away. So, defeated, he leaves, but then JFK, of course,
appears.
Yeah, he's in the stall. He's in one of the stalls. I don't know.
Maybe he was just banging some broad.
Yeah.
Banging some broad.
In the women's change room,
And this tiny brown leprechaun is just ruining my buzz.
Yeah.
So I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. So
but then he challenges himself in the mirror to make over Gandhi.
Yeah. He lets us into a bit of one of his problems where he's got parrot syndrome. I'm gonna name and classify here, where he sees himself and he figures it's somebody, just some other pretty boy. Yeah, and somehow challenges himself that he's like to get that half pint nerd a date for prom with a maple. With the JFK maple.
All the while staring smugly at the mirror and being mad at it.
Yeah.
He knows this isn't working well with Gandhi, and he's frustrated at himself, so he takes that frustration out on himself.
He's gone full Gollum at that point. Like, during the makeover, he is Smeagol, because he is yelling at the mirror, and Gandhi, he says, what is happening? Like, it is
present.
Yeah, it
physically scares Gandhi.
Yeah. And then he says, never mind, get out of here. And then...
Fresh scum.
Yeah. And then... My favorite alliteration of any words happens. For dinner, I would like a party platter in the JFK voice, but done by Gandhi is magical, Sean.
Gandhi really didn't have it in him at first. He had to straighten his back, get that butt right out there,
and out comes
and
the
out
butt.
Came the JFK. And it worked for him. He was the belle of the ball in high school.
When they came back to school, they were walking down the hall. They were the new hot topic.
Strutting their stuff.
The one girl who talks like Lumpy Space Princess from Adventure Time. Oh my God, Gandhi. Or GFK, as they start calling him.
GFK.
Yeah. Oh my God, they're gonna take me to prom.
I'm gonna stomach out.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forget what that's called when it's you talk from the back of your throat like that, but
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's worked.
It worked. Yeah.
Gandhi's got his prom date, but unfortunately, Marie Curie, she realizes that Gandhi's kind of a jerk when he's been made over by JFK, and she's crushed.
Well, I mean, she tries to ask him out as he's JFK. And it doesn't work because he's too busy attempting to dry hump other women. So it just doesn't work for him.
Yep, he's kind of forgotten his friend. But yeah, that happens when you change.
Well, when you look like JFK, I mean, the world's your oyster at that point.
Yeah, that was one of the girls' days. He's a shorter, browner JFK. I mean... What more do you need? Sweet hairdo, perfect word alliteration.
Yep. It all works for her.
Yeah, so that's one of the makeovers.
That was one of the makeovers. The first makeover, that was the second makeover.
Right.
The first one was Abe giving Joan a makeover, which ends poorly.
It pretty much as badly as
he tries to make over like a cyborg?
Maybe steampunk? It, one of the books Abe picks up during the montage is sci-fi gore, little misguided.
A little bit. When he pulled out the welding torch, I thought that was like, okay, maybe let's pump the brakes on this.
Yeah, he's gone too far. The reveal to Joan, she lets out some pretty high-pitched screams.
She wasn't happy.
She wasn't happy. Not who she wanted to be, so...
But, I mean, the makeover wasn't complete without the werewolf teeth.
Yeah, that was one thing. She ran away without her fake fangs.
That probably would have, like, just put it all together, but we'll never know.
Yep.
Thanks, Joan.
Yeah. She's just trying to help. So, it's a big time for Scudworth as well, because every year, apparently, right around prom season, it's let us known, or it's known to us now, that Scudworth went to school with John Stamos, like, famous... handsome man.
Of course.
And John Stamos beat Scudworth for prom king, which doesn't surprise me.
He's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, though, is that Stamos picks Scudworth to call around this time of year to remind him of that and to talk about it. So maybe they were friends, maybe they were rivals, but it seems kind of strange that Stamos goes out of his way specifically for Scudworth. And it has devastating effects on Scudworth.
Here's my question. Was Stamos in evil science school? Like, what was Stamos doing in the same school as Scudworth?
Yeah, like, for a man who became the principal of a clone high and, like, was doing experiments and stuff, like...
You imagine he's dabbled a little bit in
that. Yeah, like, you think, like, famous actor, evil scientist, it's very little crossover
there.
Very close,
there, so. Very close. Welcome. Have mercy.
So,
But he seems so calm talking to Stamos over the phone. Like, he's like, hey, how's it going, buddy?
Well, that's the thing. The people who devastate you the most, you can never let them know when they're...
That's true.
Because, as we saw what happened to Scudworth, he has a full-on meltdown. Just, he is screaming, he is breaking things, he is retching on the floor. Like, he is ready to vomit tears and pain.
He's not doing so good.
Yeah. And luckily, Mr. B snaps him out of it with a hard claw slap to the face. But, yeah, it's... And it's, you know, it leads Scudworth to think, too, maybe he can go to his next... Or to this prom, and he can right the wrong that had happened to him so long ago. But that's the part two.
That's what we'll find out, hopefully, in the next house.
But, yeah, Scudworth. Hopefully he doesn't, you know... lose everything he has.
Well, he just might, because the board threatened to kill him on prom night.
Oh, that's right. They find
out
about his secret plans.
Right. Was he making a documentary before Stamos called him? Or, like, what was he doing beforehand?
Yes, he was, Sean.
I feel like he was, like, doing something important.
He was...
Until Stamos...
He was making a video, like, a video tape, VHS copy, of his plan... Mr. B voices concerns, but that's not important. But Scudworth talks about how he got the idea from watching Jurassic Park 3, and it's, yeah, it's, I guess he's doing it for posterity?
Like, okay, let's go with that.
He must, like, he's the documentation of it because maybe in his mind it's going to be this, this huge hit, this flawless plan of his. So he just wants to let people know, like memoirs and stuff, you know? Like,
could just be the next Jurassic Park.
Yeah, terrible plan. Everything he's doing. Yeah.
Let's bring back dinosaurs.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was talking about, is being a terrible plan.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, his plan was pretty awful too. Like, don't get him started in his plan. But,
yeah. Cloney Island.
Cloney Island.
It's such a terrible name.
So Joan's makeover is very unsuccessful, and Toots attempts to make over her.
Again, yep.
Can't, because he's a blind man.
Yep, as he constantly lets us know.
And doesn't go over well. Not much Cleo this episode. She makes over Joan.
Yep. Well, she is mostly just waiting for her prom
proposal. That's right, yeah.
From Abe.
Who is too invested in Joan to even... think of one.
Yeah, it's he keeps putting it off for some reason.
For some weird reason, mm-hmm. And when he sees Joan made up by Cleo, he loses it.
Oh, he
finally realizes. Hang on a second, Joan's got something going on there.
She's beautiful, even though she looks like a what's the polite way to put it, Sean? $5 streetwalker.
Lady of the Night, I think.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It was better than mine. Yeah. So, but
a female companion.
But Joan's actually happy to get that attention. And why shouldn't
Absolutely.
She be? She's madly in love with him.
She's only been in love with him forever.
Yeah.
So that helps her.
Yeah. So.
And now Abe is confused. He doesn't know if he wants to take Joan or Tib. Yeah.
He has a dream where their faces are swapping, their names are on the banner changing.
Just
so.
Constant. So big troubles for Abe.
Yeah.
Things we've all struggled with. As a
teenager.
Yep. Which girl do we take to the prom? There's so many. But you can only take one.
Yeah, that's true. And
I didn't take any. I want to stay.
And his proposal at the end is... It's about, you know, I'd say pretty common. I mean, balancing six tigers on a pyramid on top of a whale on top of a unicycle.
I mean,
I've been there.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
That's how I proposed.
Oh.
So,
how sweet. So,
but we don't know who he's asking.
Yes.
Because we're left on a cliffhanger as he clears his throat.
Yeah.
Chokes on his spit or something. I don't know.
Will you go to the prom? Yeah. Yeah, the build-up of that, it's almost intolerable. I really start to, like, how he constantly keeps asking, or the build-up. I'm not a big fan of it. Get to the point.
Yeah. Let's hurry this up.
I know,
places to be.
Well, it's because I know they're doing it to twist that screw.
Twist the knife.
Yeah. But,
And, yeah, now we're left on a cliffhanger until the last episode. Mm-hmm. Part two of two.
Yeah.
Which will be episode 13.
The final finale.
We've got some Dolphin Watch here. Episode 11, we forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
When Abe is throwing away the Nork, we hear a dolphin.
Yep, as he throws it into the trash can. Must have been a small dolphin pod in it.
Of some kind.
Probably a few.
Very possible.
And then it was during one of the promposals on the part one episode. Episode 12.
Right.
There
were actually quite a few dolphins. There was one in his dream sequence where he's constantly seeing Joan and Cleo.
Yep. Because he's referring to them just off camera. Like most of the dolphins have happened, but yeah, they were off their wheels or something.
Their propellers or something.
Yeah.
They were flying at one point. There was a lot of dolphins, and then there was a couple dolphins on the cliffhanger, at the cliffhanger segment where he's bouncing on the tigers and all that.
That's right. Yep.
So, all kinds of dolphins in that one.
They're really giving us what we want at the end to keep us hooked.
Yeah.
For the finale.
Definitely.
So
what do you think is going to happen in this last episode, Steve?
In the finale? Well, I don't... Having seen it, but I'm going to pretend that I have it right now.
I'm a little rusty myself. I kind of remember what happens.
Well, I know it's a prom episode, so I know there's going to be dancers. There is going to be sexy times. And with Abe, in the part one, he refers to how everyone's a virgin. Which erupts Cleo into laughter. So maybe Abe finally loses that V card, and maybe he'll stop being so terrible.
And
Gandhi, he wants to get his dry hump on, so I'm thinking he's going to be dancing.
He's going to be dry humping like crazy.
But then there's the dangers that face Skedworth. The shadowy board of figures they're coming to take him out. They've had enough of his nonsense.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's been, 12 episodes now to this point, and they're finally like, okay.
They've got the proof.
They found his
VHS documentary.
They finally have the proof.
And they're going to take the clones, which I know it is referenced, I think, why they wanted it's Army of Clones or something, but it just seems...
It was, an Army of Clones at one point.
It's shadowy purposes of the shadowy figures, but
for sure.
They're going to take the clones, which... How could that be difficult? They're all just fully functioning human beings.
Yeah.
I mean,
they have
established
foster homes.
Yeah. In this town that's functioning.
An entire town. Yeah.
It should be fine. So I'm sure that's going to go real smooth for the board there. But I don't know. I don't think Skedworth's going to get it. And maybe, I think maybe we're going to see some John Stamos.
I'm looking forward to John Stamos.
Mm-hmm.
Stamos!
Yeah. Yeah, Scudworth screaming Stamos and his hits of despair are like,
and his curled hands and his tiny legs.
Oh, it's so
Scudworth
fun.
Is great.
Yeah.
So, Steve, who is your MVP for these episodes? Do you some time? Because I have my MVP.
You go ahead, then.
Okay, I'm going to go give to Toots.
Yeah?
Because he's a blind man, but he also beat a cougar, like a cougar gargoyle chimera type thing to death. He made over a poodle.
Yes,
he did all kinds of things, and just Toots in general makes me laugh really hard. So,
yeah.
I'm going to give to him.
They're all such great characters.
They are.
I think, you know, we didn't really have a lot of other characters. Like, some other episodes, there's other people. Like, I don't usually like picking my MVP as the main cast kind of thing.
Right.
I like to go a little left field. But,
throw a curveball every now and then.
Yeah. So, I think...
I mean, I've picked Gandhi for many of the episodes that we've done.
Yeah. Well, he's pretty good.
And, I mean, he's a solid pick.
Like, I can't pick Mr. B because out of these two episodes, he was pretty much powered down for one of them. But
yeah.
He does give Scudworth the makeover he needs to get out of that
That's
deep
true.
Stamos funk.
Very
so
true.
I'm going to give it to Mr. B, who has stood beside Scudworth these low 18 years, I guess, since they've however long they've been running this scam. But
right.
Mr. B, even though he's programmable, he is still your like bestest friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's just a lesson to the book.
If you want true friends,
get a robot.
Program them.
Yeah. Program hug cycle 24 hours on. That would be amazing. I would pay a 24 hour hug cycle.
Yeah, you don't have to go 20.
Why
would you go for the max?
Yeah,
so,
I know. I went right to the max, and I should have just spaced out.
This is
one
why.
Hour
this is why you don't have any robotic friends because you can't handle it.
I know.
So.
Well, they always run away. I mean, I program them to stay, and they never do. So.
No. So I've told you before. Just leave it to the professionals.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And you can catch us at littleshowspod.com. We're on Twitter at littleshowspod. You can catch me at Sean Stewman. Steve still does not have Twitter, or do you?
I do not.
Oh.
Well, it's still
possible.
I meant to do it, and then I forgot.
And then he forgot.
Yeah.
It's all good. He might not have it in the future. That's fine. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.